Good morning and welcome back to Nachiyami. Today we are going to be learning Iyov Perek Chav Dalet, the 24th chapter of the book of Iyov. Remember, at this point in time, this is the second half of Iyov's response to Eliphaz. Just to put things back into context, Iyov is having a complex dialogue with his three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Sofer. They have each had two rounds of arguments, and the third round of argument has begun now with Eliphaz's third speech. Iyov is in the middle of responding to him. In Perek Chav Gimel, the previous Perek, Iyov responded to the claims about why it is that Tzadik v'Ra'aloi. Why is it that the evil, the Tzadikim, the righteous, are suffering so much? In this Perek, he is now responding to Eliphaz's claim about why it is that the evil prosper. Remember, the main claim that it seemed that Eliphaz had made is that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides his Hashkacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu hides the way he conducts himself with individuals in order to make sure that they have, to ensure that they have more bechira when they serve him. When it came down to the Rishayim, so they should not be punished, so that they would be serving Hashem not for fear of punishment. Our perek is 25 psukim long. This is the second of this, the two of two parts of Iyov's response to Eliphaz. And he's now addressing Rasha v'tovloi, why it is that the evil prosper. Just in general, as an overview of what this perek is trying to achieve, the way that the Metsudos understands this is he's going to contrast the victimizer to the victim. So we'll see a lot of victims in this perek, and he's going to be saying, how is it you care more for caring about waiting for the bechira, for the choice of the victimizer, than the suffering of the victim? The Malbe makes it a little more subtle in the sense that how is it that there are Rishayim, there are evildoers who are not living in an overt way, who could be removed without too much Bechira being interrupted, and the world would be a better place, cost-benefit analysis. Whereas Rav Schwab says that this is actually talking about the Dor HaMabul. He's looking at a particular discrete event in history, and he's saying, look, the Dor HaMabul, based on the Midrash, had 10 generations of people sinning, and it only happened at the end that there was punishment, well after the death of many generations of the evildoers. Let's enter the parak and try to appreciate the 6 points that Iyov makes in his speech. The first point is the first pasuk, which is actually a very complex pasuk to unpack. Madua mishakalo nitzpenu yitzim v'yodov leichazu yamov. So he says, and using the JPS translation over here in 1985, why are the times of judgment not reserved by Shakai, by Hashem? Even those close to him cannot foresee his actions. Very hard to understand this. Where the way that Rav Schwab understands it is that it seems from the punishment of the Rishayim, or the sinners later, that they live peacefully. But why is it that Hashem extends their gratuity? Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them so much good time to live, and for many of them full lifetimes, until 10 generations later when the Mabul actually occurs? Again, this comes back to many of the arguments we've seen beforehand about Hashem's omniscience, about what's going to happen, and the choices made by human beings. The first part of this, the argument really starts now in the second point, which is Psukim Hey to Yud Aleph. In the second point, my apologies, the second point is from Psukim Beis to Dalad. In the second point, he describes the evildoers and how they take advantage of those in their near environment. They use the weak, they mislead the poor. Chamor Yisomim Yinhagu, Yachbolu Shor Amona. Those who are weakest in society, they take advantage of those who can't defend themselves. The third point he now goes on to describe from Sukkim Hei to Yud Aleph, where he describes the different types of Rasha. This type of evildoer is one who does not live in the settlement. They live in the Midbar. Hein Peroim Bamidbar Yatsu B'Fa'alam. So these people live outside. They come into the city, and they come into Yishuv, into settlement, to take advantage of those. They seem to be real estate owners. And the description over here is how the real estate owners are the ones who own the agricultural farms, and they're doing very, very well off the suffering of those workers. So the workers are underpaid, they are badly treated, and on their backs is built the empire of these very small class of real estate owners, is the way he's describing it. He describes the conditions of their workers, the fact that they even have to work carrying terrible burdens naked because they have no clothes, independent of all kinds of weather conditions, they live in very dire conditions. It seems that these people don't live there, they don't see their workers, they live in a desert environment, and they come in when they need to harvest what they want. Which leads us to the fourth point, which is from Sukkim Yud Beis to Yud Zayin. In this, He describes, and this is the very sad description now, about those who operate in darkness. So they sin in darkness. He describes whether it be adultery or murder or thievery, and they live in darkness. The way that the Rav Schwab understands this is this is a shift into the urban crime, as opposed to agricultural crime geniuses who are taking advantage of those who are poor in the fields. Here's the people in the cities who take advantage of night and the nefarious acts of the darkness. The crucial pasuk in this section is pasuk Yud Beis, which is Meir Misim Yinaku V'Nefesh Chalolim Teshaveh. So the way it's described over here is the men groan in the city, the souls of the dying cry out, yet God does not regard it as a reproach. Does Hashem not notice? Does this not matter to Hashem? And whether we're talking about the Mabul and the terrible things that occurred then, does Hashem not care about all this suffering that's going on at the hands of these terrible, terrible human beings, these decrepit characters? The way that the Malbim understands it over here is that because these people operate under the veil of darkness, then were to they be removed, let's say from the underworld, certain crime bosses or certain terrible people who live at the lowest rungs of society were to disappear, then nobody really noticed them missing. That the people would be saved, their victims would be spared, but they themselves, it wouldn't be the greatest, you know, public punishment of somebody that would impact people's bechira. Just remove them, snuff them out, and then there's no longer suffering, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The cost-benefit analysis seems clear. Look how many victims they've victimized. In point five, he now, from Sukkim Yud Ches to Chof Beis, in this section, he now describes what the Malbim understands a shift now to pirates, to those of the sea. Kalhu al pnei amayim, to kolal chalkosam ba'aretz, lo yifne derech kramim. And we're now referring to people who are not land-based. These are people who are on the ships, and there are two different types of evils that are described here as the Malbim understands it, whether it be that they are the ones who take advantage of ships out of the high seas during the summers or during the winters. The way the Malbim understands it is in the case of when it's the times of Sheleg, they have this place, they have these islands, they're wherever it is, they're rotten, devolved brothels that they run, and the way they treat women, the way that they use drugs to sterilize them, use them for their beauty, and then discard them and move on to the next at the end. Very disturbing descriptions over here. Again, the Rav Schwab sees this as part of the urban description rather than necessarily being pirates. The Malbim has moved from, we'll call it, the cities to the fields, to the fields, the deserts, and the seas as to where these evildoers are, with the theme of them being not present and therefore removable, so to speak, from the picture without impacting too many. And finally, his closing arguments are from Chaf Gimel to Chaf Hei, the last three psukim. And the main argument is Yitin Lolovetach, Vishoein, Veinehu al Darchehem. Wait a second. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is clearly sustaining them, the way the Rav Schwab understands this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is clearly making sure that these people are living securely. These terrible, hurtful, victimizing abusers are living in society, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is clearly giving them a long run. He's giving them a credit line because they seem to be succeeding for generation after generation. It took 10 generations before the flood came. How could HaKadosh Baruch Hu do it unless he specifically wanted them to succeed? But if he wanted them to succeed, at the cost of what? At the cost of all these victims, at the cost of people who died and were killed and maimed and hurt and abused and emotionally murdered, how does that work? So therefore, the way that Yov ends up this argument is, how can you even contradict anything I'm saying over here? There's nothing to talk about, says Yov. There's no way you can explain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is simply creating a veil of Ashkacha in order to preserve the Bechira of the Rishayim and those around them when the cost is so high. Look at the victims. Could HaKadosh Baruch Hu not snuff out some underworld boss without any of the world making and knowing about it? Just have him make him have a heart attack. Let him trip and fall into the ocean, right? There's so many things that could happen, but nonetheless, it doesn't happen. And that's why Eov comes back and says, it just doesn't add up. Eov now closes his arguments against Eliphaz. We're about to hear a very short speech tomorrow, Perek Chafei, from Bildad. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.